When I was in high school, I saw a film called Room, starring Brie Larson and Jacob Tremblay. You can all look it up right now. Fantastic movie, and it's part of the reason I'm even here talking to you right now. When I was in high school, like everyone else, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, but I remember seeing this movie, and if you've never seen it, I won't spoil anything. It's good to go in blind if you like that kind of thing, but I will warn you, it's a really emotional, intense watch, especially for some people who probably shouldn't even see it, honestly. Long story short, this movie, at the end of it, I said, this is what I want to do. I want to tell stories, I want to be a filmmaker, and I want to do this. And the reason I want to do this was twofold. One, I wanted to tell meaningful stories of people in the most realistic sense, in a way that connected with other people. But I also wanted to be able to provide an escape for people that were living a terrible, frustrating, miserable life at the time and didn't know what they wanted to do, and they could just go see a movie and enjoy it, right? And so it was a twofold reason. It was that I wanted to tell good stories of people and of characters, and I wanted to I wanted to provide an escape. It felt good to be like, hey, anybody that's having a crap day, I got a good movie for you. Like, that was kind of my mindset, right? And I was really inspired by Christopher Nolan's kind of stuff at the time. Nowadays, I really like Denis Villeneuve stuff. Denis Villeneuve did Dune, Blade Runner 2049, Arrival. He's that guy. I like his direction. I'm getting off topic. My point is, my dream at the time was to go be a filmmaker, and it was to go do this. Now, I was one of the most insecure human beings you can imagine in high school. I can't even describe it. But it's hard to conceptualize how insecure I was. When I hit college, one of the things I learned very quickly is the fact that that industry is absolutely brutal. But it's not just brutal, and it's not just unfair, and it's not just unreasonable. It's that at the end of the day, it's a giant club, and you're either in it or you're not in it. And there are people that'll dedicate their whole life to being in it or not in it. And they will sacrifice every relationship, everything they have, all of the money, just to be able to be on a set with somebody. And I didn't understand that until I got out of college, but they started kind of trying to push me in that direction in college, saying, hey, you're gonna have to couch surf in LA if you want to do this, you know? And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. I just want to be behind a camera. And oh, you know, I didn't understand that it's a giant club, and I didn't understand that every single movie ever made under the sun costs millions of dollars and investors want their money back. And I didn't understand that it being a club is because it's all a giant network of people who trust each other to make a good product, because it's about investors dumping, you know, 20th Century Fox, whatever, Disney, all these companies dumping like 10, 20, 50, $100 million into something because they want a return. And so the investors go, hey, let's do this. They dump the money and they build a cast and crew of people that the investors, you know, trust or whatever, to make the money and to make it back and all this different stuff. And there are tons of movies that come out that that now especially everybody has seen that are garbage. I mean, the movie industry and film industry has gone down the toilet because of not only a lot of the monopolization from guys like Disney, but also just because of the lack of creativity, because it's very hard to go to a studio and say, hey, I want, you know, whatever it is, $20 million to make my movie. The studio is going to go, who are you? I don't care. Goodbye. And that's how 99% of movies go and scripts go, right? And even if the movie does get made, if it doesn't have a market, sayonara, right? A couple of studios that are somehow managing to pull through just because of the nature of probably those studios in and of themselves are studios like A24 and Bad Robot. You know, those guys are absolutely killing it with respect to the creative stuff. You can see movies from those guys like Beau is Afraid and Hereditary that are like unlike anything you've seen before, and are told in very creative ways, and they're awesome. And so those studios are outliers. They're unusual. And like I said, it's a big club, and if you're not in it, you're out. And so I say all of this because this was my dream at the time. My dream was, like I said, in high school and college, I'll be a filmmaker. I'll make movies. And I had specifically wanted to be a cinematographer. I still do. Still love working with a camera. I've directed some small stuff, but nothing crazy. But that was what I wanted to do, is do cinematography, because I'm just a giant, not camera snob or anything, but I am a camera nerd. I really like the kind of direction that, like I said, Denis Villeneuve does with things like Blade Runner and Dune. And I also really like the aesthetic of these guys like Wes Anderson with his like symmetry and stuff. Okay. Well, my dream was sort of this fantasy thing in my head, almost like a trophy. Okay. So like imagine, picture this sort of thing, picture in your life, the thing that you want to do most and all of the sort of naive beliefs that you have about it, which are completely legit and beautiful and awesome. And think of all the things that you could imagine and that go into that dream and picture that kind of like a trophy, right? That was sort of how I felt about it. And what essentially I had to do at a certain point in my life is I had to say, if I'm going to go down this path where I have this naive belief about what it's going to be like, I'm going to have to kill it and maybe it'll come back. And so what do I mean by that? That idealized idea of what it was going to be like to do to be a filmmaker, what it was going to be like to make movies and be a producer and all this different stuff. And, oh, yeah, I'll just make friends along the way and it'll be fine and I'll figure it out. You know, all these thoughts I told myself and things I thought and everything, which were not really even true. You know, I wasn't interested in socializing or any or networking or anything. And I didn't live in an area remotely close to like the industry in New York and LA and Florida. Like I wasn't near any of that. And so I just kind of like couldn't process it. But eventually after college, I realized that if I really, really want to do that kind of stuff, if I, you know, that if I put that trophy on a shelf somewhere, And I that idealized version of me that's like, I want to go be a filmmaker. I want to go make movies. And I put that on a shelf, but I never actually pursue it because I'm too scared to pursue it. Then it just gets to sit there. And so my dream basically sits on a trophy as like a trophy sitting on a shelf, but I never actually pursued it. It's like a thing in my head that I never actually pursue, but I can kind of just like lie to myself that it's always available for me to pursue, but I don't actually do it. And it just kind of sits there. And the reason that I went in depth with the truth for my dream was sort of to spoil the fact that I eventually decided that I was going to do it. If you have a dream in your life, a thing that you want to do, and you have it just sitting on a shelf somewhere and you don't attack it your whole life, you never go do the thing, start the business, start the company, you know, do the creative thing you want to do, whatever, get the job, get the career path, you know, have the family you want to have, whatever. If you never actually go do that thing, if you have that idealized version of your dream and you never actually go for it, you should consider the fact that by not going for it, you know, you're risking the regret of never actually going for it. And you have to accept the fact that when you go after that dream that you have, that there are going to be things that you don't see in that trophy. There's going to be nicks and scratches and bruises and stuff. There's going to be hardships that come with it. And I think that at least for me, I don't know about other people, but I'm sure that people will resonate with the idea that I was very scared to go after my dream because of the fact that it was this idealized version in my head. It was like, I'll just be a filmmaker somehow. I'll make movies. So this would be cool. I don't know who's going to pay for it, but it's fine. I'll couch surf, you know, and I just didn't realize, no, if I actually want to go do it, I'm going to have to kill the dream that I have now in order to go do it. And that was my situation. Maybe that's not everybody's, but like I sort of had that sort of fantastical idea of my dream. And by nature of sacrificing the fantastical idea of what it was going to be like, I went full force with it and took it as far as I was willing to go before I said, this isn't worth it. And I decided it's not worth it. It's not worth the couch surfing. It's not worth being outside. It's not worth the celebrity status, the garbage, the manure, you know, that Hollywood has become. It's not worth any of that for me. I don't want that. It's not meaningful. It's not interesting or engaging. I just don't care. I'm just not interested in that kind of stuff. Would I act if other people wanted me to? Oh, that would be fun maybe. But in terms of like, just like me trying to get in for the sake of getting in the same way, like it's a slop. The whole thing, Hollywood has become a slop, and I'm like, it's just not worth it for me. And so in other examples that maybe make more sense, you know, that maybe people will relate to, you know, before I got married, I was in a relationship with my girlfriend then, who became then fiance, right? And it's like, I think a lot of people do this in relationships where we sort of idealize the person and go, this is the ideal person and they have no flaws whatsoever and all this different stuff. And you have this trophy idea of that person you're in that relationship with, and you kind of know they're not perfect, but you don't want to think about it, right? If you want to actually have a sustainable long-term and sometimes forever relationship like a marriage with somebody, you have to sacrifice that ideal version of them in order for that to happen. You can't have a relationship with somebody that's where you imagine that they're actually like fantastically perfect, but they're actually not. You have to sacrifice that ideal for the reality. And what's actually really interesting about all of this is the fact that when you actually do so, you while you do risk the bumps and bruises that come with it, it's like from the ashes of that sacrifice can come back portions of the dream that you had. So like, what do I mean by that? Well, by nature, I'll use my relationship as an example. I had, you know, like I said, I dated my fiance girlfriend for however long, like about a year, then got engaged. And then a year later during COVID got married. During COVID, and that was crazy. But what's interesting is like I had this sort of idea of like what my relationship and marriage was going to be like, but didn't know. And what I basically did is decided through lots of counseling and all this other stuff, I'm going to kill the idea of her being perfect so that we can have a relationship because I'm not perfect either. And so I let that go. And what was really fascinating is that through the sacrifice of the idea of her being perfect, she actually became perfect for me through the conflict resolution that we have now become excellent at. Do you see what I mean? And it's not the same exact thing. The idealized version is gone, but it's replaced with a real version that is almost as good as the idealized version, if not better, because it's actually real. See, it's realized. We actually created that, she and I, for each other, with each other. See? And if I go back to the career perspective, it's like, you know, if you have a career path you want to go down, at least for me, let's say with filmmaking and digital media and stuff like that, I had this idea of like, I'm going to go do this. I then pursued it. And by nature of pursuing it, I accepted that it was going to be hard and maybe I wasn't going to like it. And so I went down that path and I didn't have to go far. Let's specifically say with things like Hollywood and filmmaking movies that go on like Netflix, I didn't have to go far before I said, this isn't for me. And by nature of sacrificing the dream, I was then able to laterally move to things that were closer to things like other digital media and general business. I didn't know that I was really interested in running a business and doing just business in general instead of necessarily being someone on set, you know. I didn't know that that was something, I could not have known that was true until I sacrificed the version that I had before in order to sort of check off the box, you know what I mean? It would be, there's a lot of people, myself included, that have a shelf full of dreams for who they could be. And they can point to that shelf and they go, these are all the things I could be. And they sort of fantasize about all the things they could be or all the things they could have been. And it's like, you don't want to leave this life before having had tried everything on that shelf as far as it will go within reason. Like, I don't know that you'd maybe want to pull out $1 million in student loans to go do that. That's a little extreme, but you get what I'm saying. It's like, it's better to go live that life and go try to knock out as many of those trophies one at a time as carefully and thoughtfully and tactically as possible so that, like, if you kill your dreams, if you take the idealized thing in your head and you let it go and you send it off, it might come back to you. And it might come back to you in a way that you never expected, in a way that's more meaningful, in a way that is definitely different, but it requires the sacrifice of that idealized version of your dream in order to reap the reward of something real, of something tangible. And that's all I have to say.